Let's go. Hey guys, when everybody give a second to come on in here, you guys see what it is? This is episode 79. You guys see what it is? Episode 79. Hey guys, you're coming on in here, that like and that share button. Hey guys, you know it's Super Bowl Sunday, so I got to represent with the G on me. You know what I'm saying? You guys know I'm a ride for mine. Win or lose, whether Aaron Rodgers is with us or not. Aaron Rodgers figuring out whether he want to be with us. He don't want to be with us. We're trying to figure it out. You guys coming in here. Hey, before we get started, I'm going to give the guys a little setup, guys. I'm going to give this guy a little, I'm going to tell y'all something y'all don't know. Everybody, I'm going to say the world now, they know Rob Field, the basketball player. But for those from the Bird who are a little bit older than Rob, we know Rob, the quarterback. Ooh. I'm going to put that out there. I remember Rob, the quarterback. Don't nobody talk about that, dog, because it came up in the interview with Titus. Shout out Wild Child. Came up in the interview, and I said, people forget Rob first was well, of course y'all play ball, but he was a quarterback first. But we might get this thing started. All right. Mm-hmm. Episode 79. Guys, I'm letting everybody know. Shout out Rob Fields. What's going on, Rob?
Man, I can't call it, man. I'm blessed, man. What about you, man? Everything good?
Man, everything blessed. I'm a little upset right now. My team is at the house.
I was just about to ask you that before we got started. Who you taking in the game tonight?
I'm actually taking nobody. I just want to see certain numbers appear on the scoreboard. That would make my life a whole lot easier. That's the only thing. That's the only thing I want right now.
Yeah,
only one right now. So if I can get those numbers, hopefully it's 6-6, 4-4, 4-5. Not gonna say anything else about that. But if those numbers show up, I had a great Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say. Right. So everybody know, I like to start from the beginning. Who is Rob Field? So I like to start from first of all, Rob. Where were you born at, Rob?
I was born in Orangeburg Regional Medical Center, man. Yeah.
Okay.
I was born in Orangeburg. Yeah.
Okay. So you've been in the Bird. You've been in the Bird the whole life before college and everything like that.
So I lived in Columbia for a year, and then I lived in Alabama for a year. So I moved away from Orangeburg for 2 years, and then
as a youngster.
Yeah. I left Orangeburg in fourth grade, and
what grade?
Alabama fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I left for 2 years, and then we came back when I got to sixth grade.
Okay, so you can't. So how was that experience? Cause see, I didn't know. So how was your experience in Alabama versus, like, was it like a culture shock or not really?
I mean, not really. I think the biggest shock was just being away from my family, man. Like, you know, my family is really tight. So when we left, it was just us, you know, my mom and my stepfather, you know, it was just us, you know, so that was a little difficult. And I mean, at that time, it was no Facebook. I mean, excuse me, FaceTime and all this
stuff. There was none of that stuff.
Nah, man. So you basically had to send a kite or a pigeon, you know, to get in touch with your people, man. So that was the biggest thing. But I mean, Alabama was cool, man. Once we got settled and, you know, we started to figure out the landscape, it was cool. It was cool.
Okay. So what part of Alabama was it?
Phoenix City. Yeah, so it's really close to the Georgia border. So my stepfather was in the military at that time. He was stationed at Fort Benning. So we were in Alabama, but he was going back and forth from Georgia to Alabama.
Okay, that makes sense. So so you were Alabama. So at this time, because I like to hear these stories, because more kids, I always tell people, Rob, you have any kids? You have any kids?
Yeah, I have two kids.
Okay, boy and girl?
Yeah.
Girl? Mm-hmm. Boy, girl?
Boy, girl. All right. Yeah.
Okay, I'm asking the question, but how old is the boy?
Two.
Two. Okay. So you can't see it yet. So yeah. At an elementary school level, and for those who don't know, I got to give credit to him. He not on here. Rob is cousins to one of the strongest human beings alive. You know, disappear out the book for a little bit. Big B, a.k.a. Brandon Middleton, one of the strongest human beings. I seen this man bench 500 pounds with my own eyes when he was still in high school. but that's neither here nor there. So did you play Pop Warner here in Alabama, or did you play Pop Warner, or you didn't play Pop Warner?
I played Pop Warner football in Orangeburg, and you know, we did flag football, and I was on the Cowboys tackle football.
Okay.
And once I got on the Cowboys, that's when we moved. So when I went to Alabama, I didn't play football. I just played basketball.
So you always did both sports?
Yeah, and baseball too.
You did baseball too? You did.
Yeah, I played catcher and center field. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So at that early age, because at this time, because we're going to stay elementary school age. I like to slow roll it. We're going to stay elementary school age. At this time, and also because Coach Walker is also your cousin too.
No, that's my uncle.
And Coach Walker, your uncle. Wow, I didn't know that. I'm sorry, Coach Walker, put a little respect on that. So Coach Walker, your uncle. Coach Walker was an athlete, so he's going to spot an athlete. At the elementary age, did people start telling you like, Rob, you pretty, you athletic. You're not hearing that yet?
I wasn't really hearing that just yet, but I had a love for basketball, man. Like if there was a basketball present, I'm with all of that. And I mean, okay. I was really shy as a kid, so you know, I'd rather just play than talk to people, you know. Yeah, and if anyone knew me at Holy Trinity, because I went to Holy Trinity coming up. You know, you need to find me at recess, find me on the basketball court. But I don't think anyone felt like I was an exceptional athlete at that time.
Okay.
You know, I just loved it. Yeah.
Just you just love the game. Mm-hmm. Okay, so at elementary school, you playing. Mm-hmm. Did you win any MVPs or not yet?
Well, in City League, I started that first year of City League, you know, you start when you're 6 years old. I was able to I got in on the 6 year old because the 6 year old league, because I mean everybody does, right? But they actually moved me up with y'all's age group with 05. So I was Donald Kears and Jay Robinson Josh Jennings. He went to Edisto. So I moved up and then I made the All-Star team. You know, so I was starting a bubble at that time, but I mean I didn't know what I was doing. I was just playing, man.
You were blessed to understand the game. I say you understood the game.
It came to me quick, man. And you know, it's all a credit to my mother, man. Like my mom gave me a lot of, you know, she could play, but it wasn't like she was an All-American and things. She just loved the game and she just passed it on to me when I was really young. And I caught on to it. I just latched on to it.
So you got taught the game early. Mm-hmm. Okay, so of course, Rob, you went to Clark or Howard? You went to Clark with us, Rob? You went to Howard?
I went to Clark.
You went to Clark?
I was supposed to go to Howard.
But what was this? Did you play football at Clark at all? So
the story about playing football at Clark.
Okay,
I started off as a quarterback, and then we went through the preseason. We did all of that type of stuff, and then the day before the game. We were going through walkthroughs, so it was non-contact. Mm-hmm. You know, we just running through plays or whatever. The day before the first game of the season, I take a snap. I drop back, you know, just a dummy play. And then somebody came up from behind me and wrapped me up. And as soon as he wrapped me up, I was like this. And then my thumb popped out of place.
You was on Clark A or Clark B?
Basketball, I was on Clark A.
No, I'm talking about football.
Yeah, I think it was A. Yeah.
Hey, so because that Coach Bobby, I know Coach Bobby Rivers cut somebody out. So you had the ball because I played Clark A. So you had the ball. Just walkthroughs and somebody. Walk-throughs. I guess they're trying not to be funny, but they're trying just to grab you up.
Yeah.
And end up pop. Wow.
My thumb popped out of place immediately. So at that point, you know. Because I love basketball so much, I got scared. So I was like, dang, man, like, I'm not going to be able to play basketball. So I shut it down. Like, you know, I mean, it was just a dislocation. I didn't break any bones or anything.
Oh, so did it pop right back in place?
Yep, but as soon as they popped right back in place, I was like, I'm done. I'm not going back out there because I wanted to play basketball. And it, you know, in order to get back right, I think it was probably about two, I'm about, probably about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just didn't play football after that. Well, not until later on, right?
You know. Wow. Okay. That's why I love having these interviews, because you never know. Okay. And so we're
first game.
The game before the first game. So, because if you would have played, you probably would have. For sure, you got through that first game. You would have played the whole season, no question.
Yeah.
No question. Everything went smooth. Mm-hmm. So, and what grade is this?
Had that been seventh grade.
That's seventh grade.
I didn't play football sixth grade. That was my first year back in Orangeburg.
Okay, but sixth grade, did you play basketball?
I played basketball.
I got a question. So when you came back, we all know how to be. Hey, it's the thing. It's like you the old new familiar face. You go out of town. You finally had a little growth spurt. You come back like, oh, Rob, what's up, man? Hey, what's up? You going for basketball? Yeah, I'm gonna see what I can do. Yeah, I'm gonna try to figure this thing out. You know, you gotta come back. Cause you a humble cat anyway. You always been a humble cat.
I am. Yeah.
You always been a humble cat. So, yeah. What happens? So when you come back to the Bergen in sixth grade, I didn't keep with basketball. The inner work of the basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, did you start your sixth grade year?
Yeah, I started. That team was crazy though. Like we had a lot of guys who, you know, D'Angelo Johnson, Brian Felder.
Shout out D'Angelo Johnson. D'Angelo Johnson, yeah. He comments all the time. Shout out D'Angelo Johnson.
Yeah, D'Angelo.
He was a true meaning of an ATH. Okay, who's on that team now? D'Angelo Johnson.
Brian Felder. Darius Wilson.
Darius Wilson. That's a true meaning of an enforcer.
Man, I used to love playing with Darius, man. He never let nobody mess with me, that's for sure. Terrence Mills.
Shout out T. Mills.
Yeah, shout out Terrence, man.
Rest in peace, too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man, so our team was deep. I think we won the championship that year.
Yeah, I'm proud of it, because that Clark team was good for a few years. I think Donald might have been on Clark deep. Whichever one, I don't think y'all was on the same team, right? Yep. Whichever one you was on, he was on the opposite one.
Well, Donald Kears, him and I, we played it. Yeah, we played 18.
So both of y'all was on 18.
Yeah, because we won it the next year, for sure.
They wanted to. So let me ask you a question. Now you can speak to this right here. How is it?
Yeah.
Being a sixth grader, and what position had you at? Point guard or pop? High middle school. You know, if you good, they're gonna put you in.
So I say it like this, right? You know, not to cut you off, but I say it like this. So when I left for those couple years, you know, it just kind of was what it was. However, my uncle, Mr. Walker, to everybody else, he was working at Clark.
Yes, he was.
So
English one, the best English teacher ever. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm sure, you know, my uncle and I, we never really talked about it, but I'm sure, you know, when he found out I was coming back and we decided that, you know, I was going to go to Clark, I'm sure he probably went to the coach and like, listen, man, my nephew, I'm just letting y'all know he's coming to Clark. So, you know, whoop. So by the time tryout started, like, you know, it was just like, all right, I'm in there. And then, you know, I started playing with those guys. And I mean, those guys were good, man.
They were good.
Athletic, physical, all that type of stuff. So for me, man, it was just about kind of filling in and, you know, just playing my part.
But Rob, to be fair to you now, because now people will hear that story. I'm not going to lie. See, now, if I didn't see you play for myself, I'd be like, that's not like a little favoritism. But I'm going to clear it up. That's a lot of favoritism. But to be fair to you, I'm going to tell you about Coach Walker. I don't care if you're his nephew. I feel sorry for his son. I don't know, because Walker not got old now, so he might not got a little soft. Shout out to you, Coach Walker. Yeah. I know, because Walker ain't care if you was his nephew thing. He going to ride you. Fair is fair. He going to call that fair. Fair is fair. But he definitely, because Walker made us crab after a game. And I think we won the game. So,
the thing is, to your point, right? So, you know, it's one thing to, you know, get a little favoritism and have somebody kind of put a little bug in other people's ear on your behalf. But dude, you got to show up, you know, like you got to perform at the end of the day. So it's one thing for somebody to get you into the door. But for me, I had to play. And, you know, if I didn't live up to whatever expectation was set, then my uncle would look like, you know, man, your nephew ain't nothing. You know, so for me,
Correct.
Like I said, my uncle, now we never had this conversation at that time, you know, about, oh, well, I told them. No, it wasn't that. It was just,
don't
like,
worry about
hey,
it. Don't worry about it. If it's not you, he will comment. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah. Hey, but I'm saying, like, you know, you got to show up and you have to perform. So, you know, I did what I was supposed to do. And then, you know, it came out to be a true statement what he was saying, like, yo, my nephew.
He was good. Yeah. And who was your coach? Was Coach Bobby the coach of
Bobby River?
Because Coach Bobby coached basketball and because Coach Bobby was the, you know, he coached football and basketball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, coach, so you coach get River. Mm-hmm. Shout out Coach River. Coach River was a referee too. He used to tell me to stop holding sometime at the high school level. But that's neither here nor there.
I used to love Coach Rivers, man. Like he always kept it real. And
he did.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed playing for Coach Rivers for sure.
He did. Great guy. Okay, yep. So we get to middle school. Because at this time, I'm not gonna lie, Rob, you've always been the man in basketball. I ain't gonna lie. Cause I think she's up sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. Cause I'm pretty sure ninth grade, you probably didn't play B team for basketball, did you?
No, I never played B team.
Yeah, you're straight to JV, right?
Yeah, I played JV in eighth grade.
Wait a minute. Okay, so you only played middle school for sixth and seventh grade.
Yeah. Yeah. We won that championship, seventh grade, and then eighth grade. You know, I got the tryout for B team with OW, and then you know, they moved me up. So, yeah.
Wait a minute, Rob. So hold on. You right? So Rob, so you started 3 years on varsity for OW.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I got some questions about that, and I'm going to be fair because it's parties involved. I don't want to say anything mean to people, relatives, or whatever. But I'm gonna keep it strictly football. But my question is about basketball, and I'm gonna ask your opinion. You being one of the guys who was on that team and doing your thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you get there. You try out. I decided to know this. So you playing JV in the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
You had a good JV season by your measurement?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's pretty good. Not great, but pretty good.
It's kind of hard for me, man, because, you know, I'm a hard critic of myself, but I think I did pretty good.
Now, let me ask you a question. I'm at the same question with varsity, so I'm going to get you time to wrap your head around. I'm at the same question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel as though
mm-hmm. –
and I think this is the biggest problem with OW, in my opinion. Do you feel as though the coaches of the JV staff put the game plan around your athleticism or your abilities, or did it call the plays and say, run the play, we say run?
So I think JV was more free flowing, you know? So,
okay.
You know, and to think back, man, like, especially after being around the game for so long, like, we didn't have many plays. It was more so about how to execute, you know, so you had to use more passes and all this type of stuff, you know. But, I just based on what we have on those JV teams, I think, you know, they just kind of did what they had to do with the team that we had, you know. I don't even think there was favoritism towards me because, you know, there were guys in our area, like, you know, Zam Frederick, right? Like, he was averaging almost 30 a game.
Yeah, favoritism, you know, now. But this, to be fair, see, I'm a football guy. Rob got to stay clear because Rob, these basketball coaches, they still love Rob.
Yeah.
To be fair, and I feel very strongly about Zam. Watch what I say. I think Zam is one of the worst things to happen in CC life after high school. When it comes to winning championships, you can win. But I didn't see those guys getting scholarships. And one time I might have believed everybody is doing their job until I seen a football coach come to the same school with the same pool of talent and all these same pool of talents get D1 scholarships. Make it make sense. Because they ain't got the grades, ain't nobody got the grades. It's the same guys playing basketball and football. It's the same as that, guys.
But you know what? And I'll make this statement in regards to that. Uh-huh. Right? So you know, that may or may not be true. However, like for me, CC was enticing. Like it,
because
like,
they gonna let you run.
It was enticing to me. Like, you know, I, you know, this the college scholarships and all that stuff. Like that's exactly what I wanted. But mm-hmm. man, let me if I wasn't committed to OW, I definitely mm-hmm. went and played at CC. What the way that they played up and down. Like every year they got one guy averaging 25. Why couldn't that be me? You know,
so and still to this day.
Still to this day. So that's what I'm saying. Like for me, you know, I felt like, you know, in terms of mindset, in terms of like, cause I know Zam Jr. now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just talking to him, man, like, and just seeing some of the experiences that he had and some of the places that he went in terms of like from a small school like that.
Yeah,
dude, like I wanted some of that love too, you know. But I was committed to OW. Like I was full in. You know, I had some opportunities to leave. You know, I was asked, but I decided to buy in what we were doing at OW. So in terms of the JV situation, like, dude, I was just happy to be there.
Okay.
I'm in the eighth grade, man. Like,
yeah. You in the eighth grade playing. And shout out to everybody who went to CC, all y'all ballers. But I don't care what nobody say, and I tell anybody, I stand on this. Some of y'all basketball players had a zero scholarships, or even if y'all wouldn't have been academically eligible, y'all should have been guided to take the junior college route, because that's too many championships to have only one Division I player. Unless I'm wrong. And Zam Jr. was good. Zam Jr., he was great. But I just think it should have been more. So let me ask you a question. So that's TQ. Mm-hmm. That's TQ. This is all not fake, but imaginative. Mm-hmm. You being robbed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just call you your son. Is your son Rob Jr.?
No.
Okay. Your son.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You know this 10th grade. Okay, I know mm-hmm. this 10th grade. My son is athletically. Basketball, what wisdom, his skills is off the chart. Because
mm-hmm.
this is why I sometimes blame my parents, but what parents don't know they can't do. You being experienced mm-hmm. as you are, if you see a 10th grade and you see, even though this might be, my son loves it here, but this is not best for him basketball wise.
Mm-hmm.
Would you just move him? Or you let him say, what if he said, Dad, I like it here. At this point, you got to be that son. You have to let me guide you. You'll thank me later. Are you going to take him out to school, or are you going to let him finish that school?
So there's two ways to approach it. So okay. you have to be realistic with where the kid can actually go. So if you're talking mm-hmm. about top 50 aspirations, if he's possibly a top 50 kid, okay. will he be able to go top 25 if we go to this school in North Carolina or Virginia or okay. wherever? You know, but also, you know, on the other side of it, if your kid is, you know, just good, then let him rock out where he is. And once you make that determination, once you make that decision, then you have to be willing to do the work.
To
live with it. But also, you got to do the work to kind of help him get to where he's trying to go. You got to do the extra.
Correct.
You know, so it's two ways to go about it. And it's really based on talent and what you expect from the kid and being realistic with the kid's ability and all that type of stuff, mm-hmm. you know? So it's different ways to approach it. For me, I would really base it on, is my kid like that?
That good?
Yeah, is he that good? If he is, I'm gonna talk with the coaches and see what's going on. And if we're not aligned, then you may have to find mm-hmm. another situation. But also that takes resources too. So it's a lot of stuff that plays into it.
Okay, so now I'm gonna flip the bet to you.
Mm-hmm.
We know you love the Dub. Hey, you are a Dub. You are a OW. First we the Berg first, then OW.
For sure.
And shout out to you guys. You know, you guys seen the page that I did, the flyer that you guys so love. And Rob, even he was loving the Berg, he knows now. When I put that flyer out, everybody miss sure Rob loving. Like Rob said, I root for everybody from Orangeburg. Mm-hmm. He root for everybody from Orangeburg. That's what I can say about the Berg. We might have our quarrels or whatever, but mm-hmm. I can actually say, even me, a podcast perspective, I feel the love. So you looking back now, because I have my own opinion when it comes to football. I wish I had a transfer. And my mama, and I wish, and I love my coaches, but I wish I had a transfer. Looking back at it now. Even if not CC, let's say money's not an issue, because you could go someplace without money being an issue. Do you wish that you would have transferred? We know you love the dub. We know you love everybody you play with, but do you wish that you would have had transferred prior to your senior year?
With the way that everything worked out, I say no. But I think I did what I needed to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, I always envision basketball as being like a vehicle. So I never, if you ask me about a game in this month or in that season, I probably don't remember it, because at the end of the day, like, I just wanted to get to a certain mark in order to keep my name rolling.
Relevant.
And, you know, just to stay relevant and continue to get acknowledgement so I can get a scholarship, because I didn't want my family to have to pay for me to go to school, to have to help me go to school in that way. So basketball was just a vehicle, and it's done what it's supposed to do. I say that, you know,
hey, you're wrong.
Being at OW and going through this and that, and, you know, maybe being disappointed along the way. Listen, man, I got the scholarship, and then, you know, from there, everything. Yeah, man, it's just part of Rise. So I appreciate OW and everything that I got from it, especially from a social aspect, you know, meeting different people and some of the people that I met along the way, like, some of my teammates, man, like who became lifelong friends. Like,
correct.
I love my experience at OW.
Correct. I love my, you know, it's funny that Davey said the same thing too. Your name, it was funny. Your name came up in Davey's interview. It was so funny. Your name came up. He just decided to rob Fields out of the blue. But it's just crazy how things just work out. But
yeah, I listened to it, man. I've been listening to all your stuff, man. I definitely listened to the interview with Davey, though, man.
I appreciate it. And he showed love, but he definitely saw love. But Rob, this might be this. See, sometimes I'm going to say this right here as you know, we sports guys, we just love athletes.
For sure.
And this is my personal opinion, and I know you are, man. I ain't gonna lie, Rob, but yeah, you know how to speak. Very good. And when I say speak, you said the right, you said the very right words, right time. But I will say this right here, and this is me speaking as an athlete. Shout out everybody tuning in. Shout out everybody not liking that share button. Shout out everybody commenting.
Yeah, for sure.
Rob, I'm not going to lie to you. I feel as though, not the bird, I feel as though OW, this is my opinion, who's there. I seen this with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go back to when you broke your hand playing football. We're going to go back to that too. But I feel as though OW, coaching staff, I'm going to say coach, I'm not going to say a coaching name, I'm going to say coaching staff. Did not utilize you, and I'm not saying this for the bird, because everybody know we just keep it 1,000. I'm not saying this for the bird. I really though did not utilize you. When I look back at those years, and I see other athletes from other cities who are not as good, getting all this like fanfare and all these big offers and all this other stuff, and I know for a fact that we have somebody at OW who is better than them. Y'all, this is me speaking, y'all. This is not Rob speaking, because Rob too humble to say this. You, I know for a fact, who is better than him. You didn't have off the trouble issues. You had your grades together. You were coachable, because usually time those are words they try to use to kind of X us out. He's not coachable. He doesn't have the grades. Off the field issues. None of those things apply. It's almost like if you were to say name a Duke player, I say Rob Fields. That's the perfect thing. Like, none of those issues arrive. And this to me, and we had these talks, but me and other athletes, I'm not going to, who they will remain nameless, because they're not as politically correct as even me. And I'm not politically correct, but they real raw. And they just feel, we all feel as though, it's a few other guys we want to name, we're not going to name, but that we feel this about, that I feel as though, you made the best situation, because you just great, Rob, so you're going to shine no matter what. But I just feel as though, they didn't put the proper resources behind you that were available that they may have, should have. And that's just my personal opinion. I just feel as though you were too good of a player, and you checked all the other boxes, because you usually be like, he's a good player. Because there's one guy that was on the football team, I'm not going to say his name, who was a monster. But I know his attendance records had to be football attendance here. That the football season, he disappears. And if you played football between 2004 and 2005, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say his name. Shout out to him. But you had all those boxes checked.
Yeah.
And that's just me coming out. I just feel as though, like you said, basketball has definitely been the avenue.
So to your point, so this is what I say, and I appreciate it, even from the coaching aspect of what I went through, or what I was able to do at OW, right? But I think a lot of people have to think about this, like the coaching staff at that time, overall was it was an old school, bust you in the mouth, play the right way, make a lot of passes type of offense, right? And the year that I came around, basketball was changing. It was changing. And a lot of coaches weren't ready to adapt to what the game was becoming at that time. Like at that time, like, pull up threes in transition. You started getting the Iverson cut where guys would start the offense from here and they would run across the court and catch the ball at full speed. Like all of this stuff was happening during the time that I came through school, and my the way that I played actually fit where the game was going. However, we still had the old school basketball approach at OW, and my game didn't really clash in that way. But on the outside looking in, it's like, dang, like they're not using them like this or that. That was just what it was at that time. And for me, like I wasn't like I said, I'm a pretty consistent person, and I'm pretty loyal. So I wasn't gonna run. I actually had I had a couple offers to go to military school, the Fork Union. Like they were interested in bringing me to Fork Union, but I didn't want to go. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, listen, I'm here. Like I'm it's my senior year. Like what are we talking about, right? So I think it was more so that like it was an old school approach to basketball, which is respectable, and it worked up to that point. But basketball was changing at that time, and I think things just kind of got a little frizzled, in that moment. I think it was mostly that. The only thing that I, not to be too long with it, the only thing that I wished I would have did was get on the AAU circuit, like the real AAU circuit earlier.
Oh, you didn't do that?
I played AAU with OW, and then I went and played for Jermaine O'Neal. He had an AAU team, and then my last year of AAU, I played with the South Carolina Ravens, and I wish I would have done that earlier. That's really the only thing that, but at that time, like my mom and my family, like we were still learning. The internet was just really
Is
popping.
new.
Yeah,
It was
everything was
new.
new.
It was new.
And my mom was researching all the time, just different stuff. And
Well, she was
yeah.
so she was trying. So she was trying to get up. She was trying on her own. Wow. Shout out to Mama Love, because a lot of times, especially guys in our era, I tell them I don't blame my parents for not knowing these tricks. Because we think a lot of times, so shout out to Coach Tommy Brown. I wish Tommy Brown was my coach. Now, Tommy Brown would get you behind the school. Some people went to school for, on every football team that's not meant to school. But shout out
Listen.
to Coach Tommy Brown.
Listen, man, and definitely shout out to Coach Brown. And I played football in ninth grade. I played B team with Titus,
And
and
what happened? And what happened? Because
it
Rob
happened.
was the man. You was the man now.
I was playing receiver, and the thing that really first of all, Coach Brown left. That was the year that I got to ninth grade. That's when Coach Brown left. The only reason I played football, because again, like I said, I wanted a college scholarship. So why not go play for Coach Tommy Brown, who's sending guys all this play, that play, that?
He gonna get you in
Or,
school.
man, I'm playing football. So I signed up to play football, and I was playing receiver, and I felt so bad for Titus and Octavius Williams, man, behind. They were playing quarterback, and they were getting the dickens that year. I'm talking about hut, boom, getting smacked in the mouth. Like I felt so bad for the dudes, man. Like they tough is the word, because they we like that year we went through it. We struggled that year.
Because all the sides had left. Because BB had size, that's class of 04. They had a, my God, that was size. My class 05, we still had size. 06 had size, and after that, that's when it started like.
Yeah, and I played B team football. So that year, if we had any size, they moved up anyway. So man, we struggled that first year, and I just said to myself, like, man, either I'm going to tough it out with football or I'm just going to go exclusive basketball. And then, you know, I was kind of given an ultimatum too, you know, in terms of, hey, you going to play basketball, play football, and, you know, so, and my mom didn't want me to play football anyway. So,
man, hey, yeah. I'm gonna lie to you, Rob. Even when you did the voiceover just now, we knew exactly what you're talking about. You couldn't even fake the voiceover just now. You said it. That a person who said it.
Ultimatum, like, but it was, you know, it wasn't like,
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, well, so how did you hurt your hand? Because then you hurt your hand on the field.
No, that was sixth grade.
But you didn't get hurt at OW playing ball, playing football. I thought you got hurt playing football, man. Cause I thought Big B was there. I thought you got hurt playing football at OW too, like either your leg or your arm or something.
Nah, I never got injured playing football. Now I did at Clark, but at
not OW.
I was able to finish the season.
Yeah. Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
I wonder why I thought you got hurt. Okay, so go ahead.
No, I was just about to say, man, I'm actually happy that I played football, man, because it helped me so much in my journey of becoming a better basketball player. Because, you know, it's the physicality in football, you can't run from it. And for me, playing, you know, being an eighth grader playing JV, I struggled with the physical part of the game. And me playing football that first year, you know, Oklahoma drills, one-on-ones, getting jammed at the line.
Because they're going to touch you.
Yeah, you're going to get touched up. You know what I mean? And I definitely appreciated that 1 year of playing football. I think it did enough for me. You know what I mean?
Because the best wide receivers are basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's strictly just find the ball, boxing out. Yeah. Let me tell you this right here about you. Give my personal opinion. I don't know. You make a disagree. So right now we just living in what if land.
Yeah.
Because I got my own what ifs, but what if? What if Tommy Brown stayed? That's Tommy Brown didn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And you played football.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you would, before I ask the question, you think you would have stayed at quarterback, or you think you'd stay at receiver, or you might have went back to quarterback?
I wanted to play quarterback on B team.
Okay.
You know, the coaches was like, nah, player. you see what Tave and Titus going through? You want that?
Yeah. We're trying to save you. Okay, yeah. So that's it. You kept playing. Let me tell you whoever remind me of you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was that's what I'm talking about. I think even Rob, how tall are you?
About
6'2", 6'1". 6'2". And I think that might be the same height. Ronald Curry from North Carolina.
Yeah, man. I definitely man.
Ronald Curry. Y'all got the same build.
Yeah, once I heard about him, man, you know, it was just like, oh man, this dude is doing everything. He's number one in basketball and football.
And he could have got drafted. And he went to North Carolina, which I think was a mistake. He should have took that lead.
Yeah, crazy.
But
crazy
he athlete. Yes. And I want to say, I don't think I'd have thought of myself. To be fair, I really want to say Big B might have been the one that set that precedent. I want to see Big B might have given us that comparison. I want Big B. If I'm lying, Big B, I don't know if you want to, but
yeah.
I want to say Big B too. But when he said it, it made so much sense.
Man, Big B and I, because of my uncle, Mr. Walker, right? Like we would be at my uncle's house, and you know, we'd be playing basketball and you know, throwing the football and playing video games and stuff. So you know, when we came up, we. Like he knew me, you know what I mean? And he kind of saw me evolve. And once I hit the football field, I didn't know, like I knew, I know about football. I know how to get the, but I didn't know how to play, you know? So it's something as small as like lining up and, you know, giving a signal to the ref to say, hey, I'm off the line.
I'm off the line, yep.
I'm on the line. I didn't know none of that stuff. I was just out there playing, you know? So I think if I would have had an opportunity to actually learn the game and get in that weight room and start getting my footwork right, I think
it would have come to you.
I think I would have been a really good football player. But
I think so too.
Yeah, I just ended up stopping.
I think so too, because you will be called an ATH. You know what that is?
Athlete.
An athlete. That's what it is. You are ATH. Yeah. Okay, so whatever happens, happens. Coach Brown leaves. Mm-hmm. Given an ultimatum by someone, You decided to stick with basketball. And those basketball, that's been on Derby. That's when the Bruins used to be rocking. The Bruins used to be rocking. And we had some athletes on that team also who I didn't think was sometimes put in the best basketball situations. There you go. I don't remember that. The best basketball for what we had. We even had height, speed, and size for whatever. So you get on W. Did y'all make any playoff runs or not?
My junior year, that was the year Spartanburg was number one, and we beat Spartanburg that year. And then we went and played Lancaster, and Lancaster was – they were a really good team. But I felt like my junior year – well, I played varsity in ninth grade too.
Yeah.
That ninth grade year, that's when we went to the Upper State Championship and lost to Gaffney. That was the best team I had ever played on.
Yeah, Paul.
No, Paul. That was a year after. So it was Anthony Lee, Amon Murphy, Richard Glover, Casey Jackson was on the team. Much love to Casey. David Hampton was on that team.
We had hype. That was a long team.
Dude, we were built like a college basketball team that year.
Yes.
Man. We were a great team. And, I mean, we had dudes who could go. I mean, it just so happened that Gaffney had a lock, too. And, you know, we came up short. But my junior year, that was the year when we kind of had a three-headed monster on top of other guys, right? But it was Kendrick, Earl.
Shout out to Kendrick. Rest in peace.
Yeah, much love to my boy Kendrick, man. We miss you, man. And Earl and me. And then, you know, Donald Kearse was on the team. And my junior year was probably the year where I felt like we had it.
And that dude Earl didn't get to get off neither. How we got a 6'6 wing? He was 6'6, right? 6'4, 6'5, 6'6. He about 6'6, man.
Yeah, 6'5, 6'6. Earl was a monster, man.
A wing.
A monster, yeah.
Wing with handcuffs.
Shoot threes. He had bounce. Like Earl, man. He had everything. Yeah.
But he was handcuffed.
That was probably the year where I felt like, oh man, like we're gonna get it going. But you know, we lost in the second round. I think we would have beat Lancaster. We probably would have made a nice little run. But Lancaster, man, they had some hitters on that team.
No, I know Lancaster. I knew I think I knew the coach at that time.
Man, they had a nice little team.
Yeah, but I think I knew the coach at that time. They were very good. So you go. So let me ask you a question. So while you're playing for OW, we have to talk about guys. You guys know how. Let me tell you something, Rob. To be honest with you, this is my very clean cut version of this conversation. Because when I get around some other guys, this conversation does not go this clean. That's all I'm gonna say.
That's how it's supposed to be, man. you are running a
respectable platform, and all parties. That's right.
Everybody.
I try to keep it. I try to be fair, honest, but within reason, without being disrespectful.
Of course, and then when you get around your people, you know, you really chop
it down. We let it go. We let everybody hide your phones. Mm-hmm. So, at what point do you get your first scholarship offer, and what school was it? You get your first offer, and what school was it? Your first full offer, and what was it? Where was it too?
My first official offer was State.
Wow. Did not know that. What year? Junior? Senior? Sophomore year?
They offered me my senior year, but they had kind of courted me from my junior going into my senior year.
Okay.
And I was, you know, I was ready to, I mean, I wanted to go D1 because I didn't understand what playing Division II basketball meant. You know, I saw Claflin play and all these other schools, but I didn't know.
Because Claflin actually understate, right? Because the state is still Division One, Double A, and Claflin Division Two, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just wanted to go D1. I mean, Clemson kind of recruited me. I actually went on a visit to Clemson a couple times. I was there. You remember when USC and Clemson fought?
Yep.
I was at that game.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom and I.
They stoned the man out. That was new host last game.
bro, we were walking out of the stadium, and my mom was like, hey, let's beat this traffic. So, because the game was over, man, we walking out of the stadium. Next thing you know, I mean, you know how it sounds when the helmet clacks against
somebody. Yeah.
Clack. I turn around, man, everybody's just like, whoosh. It's kind of like the riot of OW. Like,
melee.
That first hit went off. And next thing you know, you see people putting cleats and other players' faces and throwing helmets and pads. And it was crazy, man. I was there. But yeah, Clemson recruited me. UNC Charlotte recruited me a little bit. But State was the first school that actually like pulled forth
the offer
and everything. Yeah.
Okay. So all right. So you go to State. No, you didn't go to State. No. So you had an offer. All right. So what school did you end up choosing?
I went to Catawba College, D2 in North Carolina, and that was because State actually, like the head coach, he left on signing day. He left school. So I'm about to commit. Like, I had already verbally committed to State. Like, a lot of people didn't even know that. I verbally committed. Like, if people remember back, like, my senior night was at SHM, Smith Hammond Middleton. That was like, why would we have my senior night? Well, not only mine, you know, Aaron Riley and, you know, a couple other guys. Like, why would we have our senior night at State when our gym is pretty much bigger than SHM?
Correct.
So that was kind of like a subtle way of saying, like, hey, you know,
I'm coming. This is my new home.
Pretty much. You know, because I mean, otherwise we could have just had senior night at OW, which would have been, you know, been fine. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was supposed to go to State, and then the coach left on signing day, and I mean, it kind of left me high and dry.
So that, wow. Rob, do people know that story?
Yeah, I've told it.
Have you told it on a platform? You told it on your podcast, which is called
The Couch with Rob Fields. Yeah. So
See how I did that?
I like that plug, man. I like that. That's that love, man.
Wow. Bro, I did not know that. Okay, damn. Bro, I'm glad you caught me on guard with that one. So I got to get my mind back. You threw me a curveball. I have my next question coming. You threw me a curveball with that one. Okay, so when you were at senior night, right at your signing day, what do you do then? Do you go into it like, let me look at all the other schools that are offering me scholarships and I'm going to just pick one of them? Or like, do you like, I'm going to start over? Or like, am I going to go like?
But that, I mean,
that's crazy.
That's the thing, man. Like, I didn't have a ton of offers, you know, like. And that's why I said I wish I would have gotten, you know, play with the Ravens a little bit earlier, because, man, that last year at AAU was, man, it was probably some of the best times ever, man. I got to play against, so, man, I got to see Kevin Love and KD and OJ, not OJ, I saw OJ Mayo the year before, but I got to see a lot of NBA guys that year playing with the Ravens, because we were going all over. We went to Houston, Virginia. We down in Orlando. We were everywhere, man. I got to see all of these pro players. And, you know, to some degree, it made me just say, like, dang, man, what if I would have been playing on the Ravens since ninth grade?
And what if you would have had a coach or staff that back you? But anyway, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, so I only had I had State, and then I had some other schools that were interested, but you know, State was, I mean, Coach Ben Betts at the time, he was the only one that pulled the trigger on me, and I was just like, I'm with it. And I mean, I grew up across the street from State. Like, I grew up across the street from, like, I live right across the street from Greater Faith. Uh-huh. Like, that's where I grew up. You know, so for me to go to State, it meant a lot. And, you know, also, like, you know, going to the football games, like, man, you know, South Carolina State is a part of my DNA. You know, so I wanted to do it. And, you know, when that happened, I just, you know, we went into scramble mode. So my uncles are very instrumental in who I am. And they, you know, I talked about, you know, what Uncle did when I came back to Orangeburg, but you know, the whole time, like, they were always putting things in place to try to help me to get to where I needed to go, whether it be working out or, you know, whether my, you know, one of my other uncles, he would, you know, he had a lot of connections. So he was talking to people, hey, you know, this and that, this and that. So, you know, once the scholarship got taken away, it was just, we were just in scramble mode, because I thought that I had gotten to that goal that I set of getting that scholarship. That was the most important thing to me out of everything. Like, if you ask me my accolades from high school right now, I probably don't even remember them, because I didn't care what it was. I just knew I needed to get those accolades to get this scholarship. You know, so it was scramble mode, man. Gotta find a way to get back to that pinnacle of getting a scholarship. So yeah, we started going on visits, and my mom, again, scrambling on the internet, researching what's this, what's that. Yeah. So it was just time. It was just go time.
Everybody from OW, y'all can pick your job back up like I just did. Okay. So yeah. How did this school, who finds this school? What's the connection that you end up going there?
So I talk about playing varsity in the ninth grade. I was on that team when we were making that playoff run. Coach Barron brought me up to play with the varsity team that my ninth grade year, and that was just an amazing experience. So on that team was Amon Murphy, who ended up going to Catawba College. Like that, so I played ninth grade. The next year, he went to Catawba, and he would come home and work out with us, because we would have summer workouts. We'd be in there shooting and doing all kind of stuff. Mod came in and he would see me working, because I mean, I when it comes, especially when it comes to basketball, like I'm just working, and it's I could stay in the gym forever. So Mod comes into the gym and we're working out, and then he goes back to school. The whole year passes, and then he hits me up that same summer after State dropped the offer. And he was basically like, I heard what happened. What you going to do? And I didn't have any definitive answers for him, because, you know, we were still trying to figure it out. I had worked out at a couple schools, and these schools offered me on the spot, but I was just like, I'm not feeling it.
What schools were there, if you don't mind saying?
One school was Limestone. I think that's up in Gaffney.
Yep.
And it was one more school that I worked out for, and I was just like, nah. But Limestone was one of the ones that when I went there, it just didn't feel right. And then Amar just called me, and he was like, man, what you gonna do? And then we talked for a bit on the phone, and then, you know, the conversation ended. You know, about a week passes, Amar calls me, and he's like, bro, have you signed yet? Nah, man, I haven't signed. He was like, man, you got to come to school on, like, in 2 days. You need to work out for the coach. One of the guys on the team, this and this and this happened to him. He was the leading scorer on our team. We need to, like, my coach wants to fill the position right now. Like, he's looking for a player, and I told him about you. You got to come. And then, you know, it kind of went from there. So
a fellow teammate made that happen.
Amon Murphy.
Shout out Amon Murphy. Let me ask you a question. So when it's going on, what are your coaches calling?
I say it like this, Marvin. Like, and I'm still this way to this day, man. Like, if I would have sat back, or if me and my family would have sat back and just waited, nothing would have ever happened.
I know. I just want to take a jab at them. I just want to take a jab at it.
Yeah. So I mean, there could have been some calls being made and all this stuff. I don't know, because I didn't have time to look around and say who's doing what and what. Nah, man.
Correct.
Like, I just had to just go. With it. So, man, I don't know.
But thank God for your family. Thank God for your family and your work ethic. So think about this. It's a lot more Rob Field stories than there are I don't know. That's name somebody. Shit, I don't know.
Any superstar you can
probably. Yeah, any superstar.
Yeah.
for the guys who got it, are right there, but their family just don't know how to like maneuver in that. Even right now, even some parents don't know how to maneuver in that atmosphere, make those phone calls. Just but thank God, and a teammate. That's why it's not good to be a bullhole to people. Because people remember those things. Like, you know what? Let me call up Rob. I heard what happened to him. I know his. That's when they come back. That's why it's easy. Because guess what? What if you be like, hey, I can come, but I'm trying to beat this charge. I can come, but let me make sure I qualify academically. I can come, but you ain't have no but. So you ready? Let me go work out. So you go work out. Then what happens at the workout? Of course, you got the scholarship, but how the workout go?
The workout went well, and the thing that was great for me was it was challenging. And I knew if I went there, because I knew of how my worked, I knew he was going to push me, and he did. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't, especially when we were practicing. You know, when we were away from the court, you know, he always looked out for me. You know, he would drive me to get food and stuff like that. Like, you know, that was a part of it. But when we were on the court, he just pushed me. You know, he didn't give me any breaks. And he was a really, really good player. He was a great defender and all that type of stuff. So that workout that day, it challenged me, and it just felt right. You know, it just felt right. So when I got the offer, you know, I was just super ecstatic. And my mom and I, we actually took that drive. And
how far drive is it?
3 hours.
What's the closest city to it? Like, if I was to say, like, what's the
closest big city is Charlotte. It's about an hour and a half from Charlotte. No.
Okay.
Yeah, probably about an hour and some change. Yeah.
How's the town right? It's like Orangeburg, a small than Orangeburg.
It's like Orangeburg. It's just okay. Like Orangeburg. Two schools okay. In the city. Okay. Three schools. Like, it's basically Orangeburg.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you make it. So what? So, and it's the same thing. Did you see the Woody interview?
I did.
Okay, so you pretty much had this. I'm gonna ask you the same question. What, like Woody said,
mm-hmm.
Woody said he only went to Clemson because of the coach, because of the coach that recruited him. He said he didn't have no thing Clemson. So was Ahmad your only reason for going to the college you chose?
He was a big reason behind it okay. Because you know I've been knowing Ahmad for many years and
yeah.
The fact that he even reached out to me, you know, I trusted him. So mm-hmm. If he said it was going to be this, I trusted that it was going to be that. And that's okay. What it was. And then I fell in love with the coaching staff. And, you know, I got, you know, acclimated to the city and how they, you know, operate and stuff like that. So, yeah, eventually, you know, I fell in love with the opportunity and stuff like that. But
okay.
if I would have told you, like, yeah, man, the whole time I wanted to go to Catawba, I'd be lying.
Okay. So, yeah. Obviously, you get to Catawba, you're doing your
mm-hmm.
thing. Because that's why I like Facebook. Facebook allows you to watch people because most people going to put the good stuff, but it allows you to keep up mm-hmm. with people without being weird. Because, like, about the blue, if I just hit you up, like, man, I know Marvin. Marvin, just hit me out of the blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Marvin. But mm-hmm. Even when you was there, I saw how you was moving. You were pushing your arm. You got the picture, the finger roll. You was doing your thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get the Catawba.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing your thing. You making plays happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, because some people, so how do you get the opportunity to say, you know what? Okay, let me slow it down. How does your transition saying that I think I could play basketball as a job? How does that go? Because everybody now blessed with the opportunity.
I, to be honest with you, at the last game of my senior year, I was just I was thinking about working. And again, you know, I talk about my mom a lot because she was very instrumental in uh-huh. some of the risk taking that took place uh-huh. in my life.
Okay.
You know, when it was time for me to take risks, she would be the person to say, do it. And I think it had a lot to do with her. Maybe at, you know, one time or another in her life, she had an opportunity to take some risks and she just couldn't or she didn't. And when those same risks posed, you know, kind of came into my life,
take them.
She pushed me to take them, you know, because, you know, and then she was the one who kind of told me, hey, I think you can do it. Because I mean, looking back on it now, I had a really good college career.
Mm-hmm.
I did pretty well at Catawba. So, yeah, and then my mom
Congratulations,
also.
Rob. Hey, congratulations, Rob. Hey, this is the first thing that you said about yourself that wasn't as humble as you think.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie.
I'm telling you, Marvin, it took me 10 years for me to actually say it, because I always feel like I can do more. But
thing out there.
now, as I'm getting older, I'm owning it now. Like, yeah, I did
Okay.
all
I did
right.
that. Now, if you was lying, that'd be one thing, but you don't believe me? Ask who I played again. Check the footage. And I'm still playing pro ball 12 years later, so whatever. Okay,
It's
so what
definitely documented.
tell me about this opportunity that comes, you say the 12th grade, you call your mom. So how does the opportunity present itself to continue playing basketball?
Just reaching out to my coach, Coach
Which
Jim
one?
Baker, my head coach at Catawba.
Okay.
I actually started the conversation with him first. So I talked with my mom about it, and then I went to Coach Baker, and Coach Baker just kind of got the ball rolling when it reached out to his people, because I didn't have an agent at the time.
Okay.
I never really had an agent, but he got the ball rolling, and it just went from there, man. And then I was presented with the opportunity, and it wasn't everything that I thought it was going to be, but I just, again, going back to my mom, she told me to go
And what was this opportunity?
to come to Denmark and play. It was a lower league, lower level league, but it would just give me an opportunity to get to Europe and test it out and start to make connections and all that type of stuff. So,
So explain to us, for those who are watching, is Europe almost like the NBA now? Like, it's like NBA, G League, and I don't think it's is it, cause I think for the G League they just fine you, right? I don't know if is it a league under the G League or no.
They have like this, I think the CBA is still
Okay,
going.
CBA, then they get you this one,
I
get this
think,
one.
yeah. But Europe is crazy, man, because there's hundreds of leagues over here. It's hundreds of different levels. If you're talking about
Is
getting
hold on,
coached,
is hundreds of professional leagues in Europe of basketball?
man, it's a lot of leagues over here. So, and it's really
Wow.
based on the country that you go to. So just imagine being in the States and every state having a different league.
Wow. I did not know it like that. Hey, that's why I'm glad we're getting educated. Wow, I did
Yeah.
not know that. See, I
Yeah.
thought it was like a Europe league, and then like the XFL had an NFL Europe. Like it was like the whole thing, but it don't work like that for basketball.
Nah, the Euro League is the next step down from the NBA, but after the Euro League,
Everything.
it's a lot of different leagues and tournaments that you can play in. It's a lot of
Okay.
different stuff. So that's why you have so many guys from America coming over here and playing in this country or that country,
And do all right.
and then you'd have a guy that in one country, but you'll never see him the whole year, because he's in another country.
Okay, wow, he making it. So what was it, so how was this opportunity? Because I'm pretty sure everybody got the horror stories, but I think the first time that people saw, if I'm, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, as far as especially someone who follows sports, the first, I'm using the word horror very dramatically, was when LaMelo Ball so high was when he went to play for that team in Lithuania. Because when we think, I think of most Americans think Euroball, we think of like, because when we see Dirk Nowitzki as a 13-year-old pro baller and Ricky Rubio, we see them playing in front of 20, 30,000 people. This was at like 20 people. I might be over, I might not be 20 people, but like small, not 20 people, but like city gyms vibes over even high school arenas.
Yeah, I mean it varies, just depending on the country that you're playing for and the city. Yeah, like if you know for yeah for guys like Dirk Nowitzki and Tony Parker and all those guys, like, they played in probably one of the biggest leagues in a basketball country. There are also countries that aren't basketball centric that guys play in. So maybe they're getting paid and they're playing, but maybe basketball is like the fifth most popular sport in
Sport.
the country. Whereas you play in a France where Tony Parker is from, or you play in Germany, basketball is number one. You play in Israel, you play in Spain, basketball is top dog besides soccer.
So I did not know that.
So you'll see, you know, the crowds vary from country to country. You know, yeah, so okay. That's what I'm saying. It's so different, man. So what I've experienced in basketball to some degree, you know, I can share these experiences with other players, but it can just be completely different from
that. You do not know until you get over there.
Yeah, you just have to sit down with whoever and just talk about it, you know.
Okay, so when you get over there your first year, you can say if you went, well, it's 12 years ago, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So 12 years ago, how does it go? Do you sign, is it per year contract, or the contracts per game? Is it a contract? How do contracts work?
So for me, well, most of the contracts that I've signed have been year to year. And a lot of players don't get multi-year deals over here. So it's usually from 1 year to the next. Okay. And that's pretty much how mine have been. I've extended on a lot of contracts since I've been over here. But, you know, I've never signed for 3 years right then and there. Yeah, it's usually been an extension type of situation. Yeah, okay. So that first year, it was just me kind of being in Europe and figuring things out and getting, you know, kind of into the culture and just learning how to move around by myself and meeting different people and networking. That was really the first year for me.
So how were you on the court?
Oh, I did well. Year? Yeah, I did well the first year.
So yeah, you got over, you was like, I can do it. Now you can talk about that. So what was your first contract? We never talk about the contract right now, but that first time I'm like, okay, I'm over here, and you can bring it down to me in American dollars. What was your first contract for? And how long? How many games was it? Like 80? Do they have long seasons like the NBA, or are they short seasons?
Well, see, that's when you talk about 80, 60 game seasons, that's when you're talking about the higher leagues in Europe.
Okay.
That first year that I signed for, like, I wasn't getting paid very much money, but, you know, they gave me transportation, they gave me lodging, I got food.
You don't need nothing else. You don't need nothing else, because especially you trying to get your feet wet.
Okay. I'm just trying to get in. So, you know, the little bit of cash that I got, I try to save, and then I do some, you know, little odd jobs around here and save up some money. But for the most part, man, you know, I was just over here living and trying to figure it out.
Do ball. Okay. So all right, so you're doing ball. And so are you doing like most guys do? Are you doing your time over there to playing ball? As soon as the season over, you fly back? Or are you just staying over there?
I'm out. At that time, bro, I'm counting the days, bro. I'm ready to get back home. You know, because I'm fresh out of college, you know? Like, I'm young and got a little bit of pocket change. I just kind of go home and, you know, you feel proud of yourself, you know, going back home. It. Yeah. But
think about it. Because you're doing more, actually, than a lot of guys who even went to big schools. They're not even getting an opportunity to play basketball at all. And because you may not to say this, seeming though you made wide decisions in college, you didn't have responsibilities right out of college. With some guys, they have no choice. They're like, they got to go straight to work because I'm not gonna say mistakes. They just made decisions that require them to take on responsibilities ASAP.
ASAP, yeah. And
okay.
For me, I was fortunate to not have any of those types of responsibilities.
Okay.
You know, to look for. So for me, man, like, after the season was over, I was just ready to go home and be with my friends, be around my family and all that type of stuff. Like, I didn't really start spending summers over here until I had my daughter, you know.
Okay.
So.
And what year is that?
2016.
No, I'm when I say year, I'm going to talk to you six. As Liz, you is year six. Okay. So five, when do five, you... Six. So when do you start saying, Rob, you're making a little bit of money over here now? What year is that you start saying, okay, now like now I see, because at some point, I don't know, you could jump around. At some point, maybe if you pay the first year, you'd be like, okay, well, this is just a bucket list I just checked off, or is this something that I can survive off of and raise a family? Because I knew it had to be like a crossing line, like versus like bucket list having fun versus I could sustain a family and a career. Like, what year was that? Because,
well, I mean, to be honest with you, like, I'm not making no millions over here. So it's really about survival and just living a lifestyle that I want to live. So that's really what the money is at this point.
You real good. Well, let me change. We're not gonna talk about the amount of money, but let me change it. Let's just say this. When you first coming out, what's your degree in?
Mass communications.
Mass communications.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you were what was your goal, to work at a TV station or just do anything in
radio, radio station, something like that. Yeah.
Radio station. Because radio station get paid that people think too, unless you're a big timer. So let's say you started working at radio.
We got the radio station right here in 2020.
We got it now. You know we got it now. The college and mama sports and life.
Yeah, all you gotta do is get some licensing for some music and we can.
That's it.
You know, spin the records.
That's it. I'm gonna put you my music because I want all mine. They cut this thing. I wanted to say it. Yeah. Hey, licensed by Marvel Sports and Life. Licensed by the couch. Okay, so that's it. You start off. This time I'm gonna phrase it in the right way. If you come out of college, you probably do an internship, all kind of stuff. That's it. Back then, you would come out making, I don't know, probably $30,000, and $30,000 kind of pushing it. I don't think you made $30,000 your first year coming out of college in radio and communication.
Probably not.
Somebody wrong, but we'll say you moved to Charlotte, $35,000. Did it make more sense for you to play? Now that's a better question. Did it make more sense for you to play basketball in Europe, or did it make more sense for you to take that $35,000 job?
Well, again, like
no responsibilities too, and room and board.
I'm living in Europe. Like, you know, that's really the biggest part of it for me, that especially in those early years before I decided to get married, before I started having kids and all that stuff. Dude, I was just living.
Uh-huh.
You know, I get to travel. I get to see different countries. I get to meet all these different people.
I'm living my best life.
Yeah, so the money aspect, right? For the money, like, of course, the money is important. But at that time, I'm living on these experiences, you know, so
which are priceless.
Yeah, I'm thankful that I did, because I actually thought about stopping after my first season because I hurt my back. So I had a disc in my lower back kind of shift, and I almost stopped playing, you know, and just, I don't know, you call it, you know, a blessing, you call it luck, you call it whatever, but you know, I talked with my physio, big thanks to Christy and from Catawba. And Christy checked my back. I told her what was happening. And she sent me to a specialist. And I went to that specialist. And after 3 weeks, that pain that I had been experiencing for 3 months, it knocked it out in 3 weeks. And I was back playing. So then I got a contract to come back to Europe. And then I went back, but that same summer I had already started working.
Wow.
Yeah, I started working that summer. Like, I was about to start a full-time job.
Yeah.
But my back improved, and I told the people at the job, like, hey, I just got an opportunity to go to Europe. And I went back, and I've been over here ever since. But I was about to stop at that time and take the money, because I was getting paid well. Like, my training at that time was like, I was in the second week of training, and they gave me a check. Man, like, I would have stopped working for that if I could get this every week. Right? No kids, no.
Yes,
you know, I don't have. You know, I'm thankful and I'm blessed, but I don't have no student loans.
Mm-hmm.
My car was paid off at that time. I'm like, yeah,
you good.
I was good.
Well, you would have been good.
Yeah, I could have took the money.
But you could have been good and not happy.
I could have been thinking, what if?
Now, 12 years later, you're still playing. So yeah. You said, so we go to year five. Right now, you rob. Your game. Would you say that year five, six, you're at your peak? Like, peak?
I'm seeing the game a lot differently than I did in my first year.
Okay.
Like, I had so much to learn. And then those first 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Okay.
I learned a lot. So by that fifth year,
You got it.
I feel like I was playing some good basketball at that time.
Okay, so year five, see you at your peak. Year five, see you at your peak. You balling. We just know the money got better because I don't care what job. If you're in a job for 6 years and your pay is still the same, quit. Or get you do something else. It ain't working for you.
That's true.
Yeah, so obviously the money not got better. You can move around. I'm pretty sure you know your way around. You're a whole lot better now. Okay, so now I'm asking you questions because something happens. You go from I'm playing Europe to hey, it's
Yeah.
a baby here.
I got married first, and
Okay, so did you meet her in Europe or
I did.
from the States?
Yeah, I met over here.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I got married first, and then we had my daughter, and that was in my sixth year. That was year six.
So
So,
right now, life is clicking.
yeah,
Life, so life
things
and
rolling.
your ball player kicking out at the same time, same cylinder.
It's rolling at that point.
Wow. And at that point, where are you staying at? You still in Denmark? Where you at now at that point?
I'm
Denmark.
in
So
Denmark.
have you been in Denmark the whole time?
I played in Spain as well, but
Okay.
most of the time that I've been over here has been in Denmark.
So you pretty much, so right now you pretty much can see you from Denmark. Just not Denmark, South
I pretty much,
Carolina.
not right. Yeah, I speak the language, and I'm pretty much I'm into it.
Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. Hey, you can't just throw that in there. I guess you've been living for 12 years. So what is it? French or Spanish? Woo.
It's Danish.
It's Danish. But is it a derivative of French or Spanish? Or is it its own separate?
It's his own separate thing, man. It's a really difficult language to speak, by the way. But I learned it. Yeah, it took me about 2 years to actually
Negro. Hold on,
get
everybody
to
to let
it.
that Negro. You learn how to speak the whole language in 2 years?
I'm not 100% fluent, but that's really mainly because it's so difficult. Yeah,
But you can go in the store, order stuff, talk to people, have no problems.
I read on a college level. I write on a college level, and my speaking is almost at a college level.
So, but you know what's crazy? Who had the unfair advantage? Your daughter, because she probably speaks it fluently.
She does.
Because
She
yeah,
so
because she
she's
grew
bi
up.
yeah so she's bi yeah she's bilingual right now. And I mean, honestly,
Wow.
I'm hoping she catches on to more languages, man. So for me, I started learning Spanish at five at
Okay.
Holy Trinity. And
Yeah.
I think me what I learned at Holy Trinity at that time has helped me in the space that I'm in right now. Because even when I went to Spain, I was able to move around and speak Spanish and do all that type of stuff too.
Okay, so is your wife Danish too?
She's Danish American.
Danish American? Okay.
Yeah, but she's been here pretty much her whole life.
Is it a large, not large, but is it a fairly relatively large American community over there to where if I didn't speak Danish, that I could feel comfortable as long as I'm around this
English is
set?
actually the second language here. So
Wow, okay. So
if you were to come over here and just visit or whatever, then you would you I mean the language barrier isn't it, it's not too
it's not
deep.
big me going to Mexico. Like if I go to Mexico, good luck.
Mexico, some places in Spain, I mean,
Yeah.
if you go to Germany, you'll definitely have to pull out your Google Translate in some of these places. Yeah, but not so much in Denmark. It's pretty cool over here.
Okay. So in demo, so you're doing your thing, you balling. Now you in year, when you said it to me, I was like, wow, you are in year 12 now. Now, I got a question that I'm pretty sure your wife asks you. I'm pretty sure everybody asks you. How much longer do you think you have it in you?
To be in
And what do you want to, let's start with that first. Go ahead.
To be in Europe.
No. Basketball. Not Europe. Basketball.
Oh
Just
man,
strictly ball. Playing. Not coaching. Playing.
that's a good question, man. I don't know. I just, you know, once I started, you know, the podcast and I started studying and just learning some new techniques, you know, my interests are shifting because I'm growing as
Okay.
a person.
Correct.
And, you know, I can still play. I still love to play. You know, I don't know. You know, I feel like I've gotten a lot out of the game of basketball.
Okay.
I got a lot out of it, you know, so I don't know if it makes sense to keep stringing it along, but I can still do it, you know. So
And guess what? If they're gonna keep offering no contracts, we ain't leaving no money on the table. See, that's that bird in you. We ain't leaving no money on the table.
my
And
man,
they got a contract.
gotta eat, man. We gotta.
Okay. So what do you expect? What do you in a perfect Rob world, what do you see your life after basketball?
Well, I want to just create a platform that, you know, is doing what it's doing so far. Like I just with this podcast that I'm doing it, you know, it's in the early stages, it's in the baby stages, but
And what is it called?
The Couch with
And
Rob
where can it be
Field,
found?
Apple, Google Podcasts, and also Spotify. I know Spotify is ruffling some people's feathers, but we're there. But yeah, I don't know. I just want this platform to grow, and I want to be able to do, you know, just a lot of different stuff with it, man. I have a big vision for it, and if it grows, I want it to be able to grow to a point where it can be not only, you know, passive income, but it can be something that I can do full time because I just enjoy doing it. Like I'm getting the enjoyment that I get from studying and learning is the same enjoyment that I got as a kid when I started playing basketball. And I haven't had anything kind of pique my interest like that, you know, since I started playing ball. You know, I know it's and I know it's a journey, but in a perfect world, I would be doing that full time, and I'd be able to travel home and see my family and still do what I do, and I would still be able to be active with my kids and be present in everything that they do, and I would still be active as a husband and being able to spend time with my wife. Like that would be a perfect world for me, just to be accessible to all the people that I love and still be able to make a living and, you know, make some money and do the things I love doing. That would be me in a perfect world.
Okay, so if you had to tell somebody, well, I got two questions. I've learned this. So the first question is, if somebody want to find out what's the couch about, which episode would you recommend them go listen to? The Couch by Rob Fields, available on all streaming platforms. What would be the first, what would be the episode that would you say, if you want to start with the couch, listen to this episode first, then continue.
Just start. Well, we only have one episode out right now. Episode two is
Okay.
actually releasing tomorrow. But
Okay.
just start with the first episode because the first episode tells a lot about where we're going to go with the conversation and, you know, a little bit about what I believe in. And I'm also very vulnerable on that first episode, you know, so I try to keep it real. I try to keep it authentic. And you know, that the first episode is just me. It's kind of talking about, you know, some of the things that I've experienced in my life and how it's kind of shaped and molded me into who I am right now, you know. So
Okay.
yeah, so you can start with the first episode. It'll tell some of the stories that, you know, I've experienced along the way.
Well, man, we're definitely gonna check that out. The Couch by
Yep.
Rob Fields. Oh, you drop weekly, monthly, bi-weekly,
Bi-weekly.
bi-weekly. I
Yep.
gotta be gonna check it out. So let me ask you real quick. So when you retire, are
Yeah.
y'all planning on staying in Europe, or do you have any plans of coming back to the States? Or you have to, or when it comes down to it, you and the boss have to sit down and decide what's going to be best as far as y'all family.
It's up to boss lady, man. You know, I mean, I will say this, man. I love Denmark, and I love you know, just the advantages that the kids get having, you know, multiple languages and learning about different cultures. And still keeping it, real, you know, especially in the confines of our home. Like it's very orange, it's like it's very Orangeburg in this house, you know, when we out and out and about and doing what we do, you know, we definitely respect the culture here and we enjoy the culture here. But you know, when you know you get into this household, man, it's definitely South Carolina, it's Jersey where my father-in-law is from. It's it's a lot of everything going on here in the house, you know. But yeah, I mean, we'll discuss it. But right now, you know, we're in a good place, and you know, we're in a happy home and stuff. And I'm definitely you know, I just love the fact that I'm able to kind of go back and forth and see my family, you know, summer vacation, all that type of stuff. So if I can still travel, I think, you know, if I can still go back freely, I think, you know, we'll be fine over here.
Because it'll be easy because they're experiencing it. And because is your mom still in Orangeburg? I know.
No, so my mom passed in 2013.
Oh, sorry to hear that, brother.
Yeah, but my family is still in Orangeburg. You know, most of my family is still in Orangeburg.
Yeah, because, boy, I know when them kids come, they be like, if they get in the house,
I'll tell you about the first time my daughter came over there. So we had my daughter in 2016.
And, okay.
We came over to the States in 2017. And we came at night in Orangeburg. We get in my grandma's house. And my grandma, she's like, okay, I'm not going to rush up on the baby because, you know, she's new. I don't want to, you know, overwhelm her. So my grandma just kind of played it cool. And as soon as my daughter walks in the room, she sees a ceiling fan for the first time in her life because, you know, ceiling fans aren't really a big thing. And we didn't have one in our house at the time. Okay. So, man, as soon as she walks in the house, my daughter looks up and she sees the ceiling fan and she just does this. She's shaking. So, you know, my grandma, you know, being as smart as she is, my grandma had a remote to her ceiling fan and she grabs the ceiling fan remote. And she goes over to my daughter like, you wanna press it? And then my daughter pressed it and turned the ceiling fan off. And that's actually how they, you know, created that bond, right? But, you know, in terms of like the cultural differences, that's the first time that my daughter, you know, was like shook up, like, what the heck is this? Like,
yes,
you know, on top of you know, having that long flight, right? So, yeah, so that, I mean, that stuff is there, man, but, you know, I think it's definitely going to be a part of their journey, and it'll add to what they're already bringing to the table.
That's very good. That's very good. Cool. When you can be that culture, and when they can say, hey, I love this. I got to see the Da Vinci painting and listen to Beethoven. But sometime when my daddy working out, he liked to play a group called Crime Mob. Nook, if Crime you book, Mob, you guys know about that. Little John,
Little John. Hey, the Peach Boy. You know, we do all of that, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's the United States of Orangeburg. You know, when you cross the threshold. You know what I'm saying? For sure.
But man, bro, I'm telling you what, I'm about to let you last word, man. I'm glad you joined me. Hey, guys, this conversation, yeah. I love this. Hey, guys, this is another episode of Mother Sports and Life. I'm telling you guys, I this is a perfect example. I tell you guys, the Orangeburg, I think we undervalue ourselves sometimes. If we don't realize sometimes we can reach out to our own and get things accomplished without going outside. Like, I think things can grow within. Then once it grows within, the outside has no choice but to accept. That's why I think Atlanta is so popular, because Atlanta don't care what the world thinks. Atlanta focuses on making the hardest music for their road in the other country that falls in line and finds it.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, when we're talking about Orangeburg, I think we undervalue the Orangeburg experience. You know, just recently, the Orangeburg Massacre was featured all over the internet because of, you know, its impact on our culture. Like, I mean, we still have family members who were affected by that time.
Correct. And,
you know, the Orangeburg Massacre took place right at the bowling alley downtown. Correct. And it had a countrywide effect, you know, just with how it happened and all of that. But listen, like, it happened in Orangeburg.
Yes.
Like, we are descendants of folks who were there in that moment Correct. During that time. And this is Correct. Not only Orangeburg Magical, but it's also a lot of, you know, culture and just, well, it's rich culture coming from Orangeburg. Yes. And I think we take it for granted because we, you know, we just kind of in the hustle and bustle of life.
It's the Berg. It's the Berg. It's the Berg. It don't matter. It's the Berg. You're right.
Yeah. But I think we should be proud of being from Orangeburg, man, because it's a lot of culture there. It's a lot of history. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, those of us who are from there, who are living there, or those of us who grew up there and left, you know, we always have to hold, you know, our city up, because, you know, even in the bad times, because it is a very special city. And I'm thankful, you know, to have grown up there, and, you know, and now I'm giving that same culture to my kids now, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just kind of passing it on. So yeah, Orangeburg is definitely a great place, man. And what you're doing with your podcast, man, by having, you know, Orangeburg natives, you know, man, it's just dope, man. And I told you, I'm locked in. I love seeing these episodes, man. I love hearing the stories of people that I might have seen around school or seen mm-hmm. in the community. And, you know, you just giving them a voice and a platform, man. So thank you, man, for having me be a part of this, man. This, you know, I'm definitely thankful, man.
Hey, my brother, and I definitely appreciate you. And I got one more question. So, new, when they come back, you got to let them try some of that Earl Deuce and Antley's fried chicken.
Oh, for sure, man. For sure. Hey, listen, my wife is not downstairs, but we went to a barbecue restaurant in Orangeburg. This is about, 3 years ago. And this is a place that's known for their baked beans.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I don't even know if I want to blow them up like that. But, man, we went there and had them baked beans. Yeah. I tell you, our stomachs was toe up. toe up.
Because you're not used to that. It's almost like your digestive system is not used to that. Like, what is this?
Even me, man, like, I'm not even going in the parking lot. I might get diarrhea. So, but, yeah, we have been to some of the Orangeburg staples, man, and – yeah, when we come back, I'm definitely looking forward to getting some of that Orangeburg cuisine.
Okay, hey man, I want to appreciate you for coming on. They got episode 79. You guys see, it got the thing moving and grooving. And before we leave, we're gonna let them say one more time the name of the podcast. And God, I'm gonna have a link. I'm gonna have a link. It's gonna be right on this info above. I'm gonna matter of fact, is it available on your do you have a link tree?
I do.
Okay, well, you gonna send me that, and I'm gonna put your link tree in there, so that way they be able to find me, no problem. For sure. But still, go ahead and let them know the podcast and how to find it.
Yeah, so I've created a podcast. It's called The Couch with Rob Fields. If you're on Instagram, you can follow us at the Couch RF on Instagram, and the podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, and also Spotify. And on the couch, we just talk about just real stuff. I mean, we talk about a range of things, from life, we talk about sports, we talk about love, we talk about everything. So if you're interested, just give us a listen. Episode 1 is definitely live, so you can go listen to what we're talking about. And we look forward to you taking your seat with us.
Hey, you know I'm down. Hey, I'm down. Hey, exactly. I'll come on the air. I'll come on your platform and get real loose.
But we don't curse because my grandma listens to it. So.
Oh, no problem. Hey, I have no problem. I watch my language just because of monetational reasons. Because I do everything like, when this thing go, the less vulgar language you use, the more ad revenue you can get.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to leave no money on the table. Now, unless it makes sense to get that word in there for a conversation somebody having, I do it to my guests, but I'm like, I'm trying to get all the bag.
Yeah. 100%.
100. All right, Rob, hold on 1 second. Hey, guys, just like that, this is episode 79. We out with the Orangeburg GOAT legend. He gonna call himself that. Somebody else put in here. Somebody put the Orangeburg GOAT. Somebody put legend. Shout out Thomas Russell. Shout out Thomas Spencer. Shout out Longman. Shout out, give a quick shout out. Shout out Nita. Shout out Carlos. Carlos, your 49ers still suck. And just like that, guys, we out.
Yeah.